How do you stop it? Ooh. No, but like if you wanted to stop it without doing the volume.
Honest to God, I have no idea. I think that it's sound like, holds us hostage.
Oh. Stun this guy. You just hear the hi-hat.
Oh, you just, I think you just tap it again.
It stops. I was double tapping it.
Oh, I still love that that sounds called Music Fed.
Yeah.
Hey, which is what we're talking about on today's episode of Rally Caps.
Woo! I was going to go, and yours truly, oh man. I was going to make fun of myself. You ruined it. Gene's like, I have to go.
I'll give you another chance. Here we go.
And yours truly. Why didn't you go? You're supposed to go.
Oh, I'm saying your name now?
Yeah, no, that's what we did.
I thought you were, okay, yeah.
And yours truly.
Eric Floberg.
Oh my gosh.
Bro, this cricket's got some stamina.
We shouldn't be allowed to do this. Too much power.
No!
Hey everyone, welcome back to Rally Caps, a podcast for artists, entrepreneurs, and everybody in between. I'm Steven.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Gene.
And today we are talking about a little trip that we went on a couple weeks ago to Texas with our good friends over at Music Bed.
Can we just stop real quick though? You rhymed. You rhymed with Gene and it was awesome. You said,
did I really?
Artists and whatever in between. I'm Steven, I'm Eric, and I'm Gene.
Ooh.
You should like remix that, put it as the cold open instead.
Well, Dr. Seuss action.
Do I need to?
We could program it into the drum pads and just. Okay. At some point.
All right. Well, we went to Texas.
We did.
Mm-hmm. How was that?
Fantastic. It was a whirlwind. We were there for
three full days
with travel days on either end of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not a very long flight by any means, but it was kind of a very calculated decision going later Monday. Leaving
so
very
sick.
Early Friday.
I want to do that forever now.
Yeah.
We left at 4 p.m. Central on a Monday. Yeah. So we got virtually all of Monday at home and then got in late, had three full days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yep.
And then I guess it wasn't too fun to go to the airport that early,
no,
except we're used to it.
We are pretty used to
we're
it.
We're up by four.
Yeah. It was like a 4-hour sleep kind of night.
But being home the entire day, Friday was
a full day back.
Yeah. We landed at like 9:30.
Yeah.
I think.
It was
awesome.
Great.
Which
yeah.
I love.
Oh, I'm making a video about the trip. That's going to be pretty special.
Yep.
Are you guys making a video?
Maybe recapping.
Yeah.
I don't want to overlap with yours too much.
Right. I feel like it'll be the same video if you make one.
Right. I mean, we only really use the C74 footage across the board. I think you got some stuff on your R5.
I got some R5 stuff. Yeah. I think I'll try to find a different angle, but I'll share a lot of film photos. Basically from the trip. So.
Shot a lot of film.
Yeah. I think by the time this episode is out, your video will probably be
oh,
live,
for sure.
Eric. So we'll link that in the description if you want to check it out.
Yeah.
It was very fun though. Why were we there in the first place? No, it's fine. don't
rush. Not to talk too much. I'm trying to be better at that.
All right, Gene, why were we there?
We were there because, so all three of us have done work with Music Bed or together with Music Bed, whether it's sponsored videos or any other types of content, but essentially they've known about the doc that we've been working on for the past year. And so as we were closing out 2022 and we were starting to forecast post-production, editing, and all those things, Music Bed reached out and basically invited us to Daniel's Lake House. So the CEO of Music Bed owns a lake house in Fort Worth, Texas. And so they invited us out there to edit, to work, to do some stuff with them. And then they planned some activities for us as well while we were out there.
Yep. Eric and I interviewed Daniel on last week's episode of the show. So if you haven't heard that yet, that will also be linked in the description. Go check that out.
Pretty funny episode.
Very funny.
Great episode.
Very cool. Daniel was so much fun to meet for the first time and also just get to know. It was a really cool episode and one of the more, I would say probably interesting episodes that we've done as far as guest episodes, because it's someone who is in a entirely different place than most of the people that we interview on the show. So it was really cool to get his insight.
Unequivocally.
Yeah. Oh, like head and shoulders, like different tier.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, CEO of like
100-person company.
Yeah. Like very different.
Yeah.
So that was super fun. But yeah, we stayed at his lake house the entire week, which was magnificent.
It was absurd.
Yeah. It was, yeah. You probably saw stories.
Well, if you saw the video version, if you saw the video version of last week's podcast, you were sitting in the living room.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we did that.
You get kind of an idea.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you follow us on Instagram, you saw that trip. It was just absurd. I'm sure we have Instagram posts about it now out. If you just look at the film photos from that trip. It was, straight out of Architectural Digest.
Yep.
Like, that's what it just looked like. And it was a 5 or 6 bedroom home, pool, massive kitchen with industrial fridge. They got us all the snacks in the world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Healthy snacks, too, because we learned our lesson from last year.
Yeah, and we asked for that, and it was incredible. But, yeah, what was really cool is, for me personally, I met our music bed rep, the point of communication, Laura, in 2019. I went to I went to the Moment Invitational.
That's right.
Moment International Film Festival.
Yeah.
I actually learned from her on this trip that she was
You were there that night.
I was there that night. I didn't know she was there. There were a ton of people there that night.
Yeah, I was super intimidated.
Same.
Because it was like Chris Howe, Lizzie Pierce, Jesse Driftwood, Sarah Dici, and John Hill, and Willem, and Patrick Tomaso.
And Niles and Caleb.
And Niles and Caleb from
Jack,
Moment.
And Jack. Sam.
And my pals, Mango Street, who are also a very big deal, and they befriended me kind of in the early years of my YouTube career.
Yeah.
I just I shot with them a little bit. I shot a wedding with Daniel in Thailand, and then Rachel encouraged me to start a YouTube channel, and so they wanted to feature me as the lead in their short for this film, and we took a boat out to, I forget what the islands are even called. Islands off the coast of California.
Yep.
Catalina? No.
I don't. Catalina Wine Mixer Islands.
I forget the name of the actual island. But we shot like this Wes Anderson themed short film, which was like they knocked it out of the park. They won their division, like got all the awards. But that night, I wasn't really expecting anyone to know who I was. There was one moment where Jesse Driftwood looked at me and pointed and said, "I know your face." And I was like, "You do?" I think it was just because he just saw my face on the movie they made. But Laura was like the only other person that walked up to me.
That's wild.
And was like, "Hey, I've been watching your stuff." And I was like, "What?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'm part of Music Bed." And I was like, "What?" It was that moment where not many brands at all had reached out to me at that point. I asked her on the trip. I was like, "I don't know, did I have like 10,000 subs at that point?" She's like, "I think you were at like 25 or 30. So it was like starting to pick up some steam.
It was spring of 2019, right?
Yeah.
Like April.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
4 years ago.
And so this was a brand I had already been using for half a decade. And I was like, okay, that's incredible. So she's like, yeah, I'll follow up with you. I'm like, sounds good. So then we just kept in contact for the next year. And I think they sponsored their first video on my channel in 2020, I want to say. And then we've just kept going year after year. Last year having a retainer, this year having a retainer as well, and just being one of the closest brands that I work with on my channel, and one of the longest lasting things I've used online for my career, with it being about a decade of use.
Yeah, it would probably be like that in Creative Cloud or something, right? Like some kind of like Adobe software and like Music Bed.
I want to say I started using Music Bed even before I started using Premiere.
Whoa.
Or it was like maybe the same exact time.
Music Bed, Windows Movie Maker.
Yes. No, iMovie.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
No, dude, I was on a Mac. Who do you think I am? Jeez.
Man. Yeah.
So all of that to say, that's kind of how all that started, to just kind of show the importance of relationship building.
And how long it takes to build up to things like
this. Yeah, like 4.5 years before we go on a trip like that and earn, like, honestly, year after year, for sure, I was, like, building credibility with that brand making sure, like, no brand is going to work with you if you're not giving them some sort of return on investment. Like, that's what they're doing for sponsorship. So that was happening. My audience was really resonating with me sharing about MusicBed. I just wholeheartedly believe it is the best music licensing platform, as was evident in the conversation we had with Daniel, with that being their intention. So with that as well, they just kind of, in their style, gave us a week to remember.
Yes.
Do you want to share more about what we did?
Okay. Yeah.
And who went there with us, too.
Yeah, that's a good call. So it was the three of us there. We were all welcome to invite spouses and families if we wanted to. Mm-hmm. Laura, my wife, did join, which was very, very fun. And then Maddie and Joe were there as well. So we were the six people staying in the house for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then Laura, one of our point people at MusicBed, as well as Mia and Avery.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of like our three contacts for the week. They were the ones that planned everything. Huge shout out to them because it was like flawlessly planned. So much fun. Super cool.
So hospitable.
Yeah. We like showed up and from Monday evening to Friday morning, didn't really have to worry about or do anything.
Yeah.
The entire time.
It was like, this is what we're doing next. This is your meal. This is the food. This is the thing we're doing. It's like, oh, great. Cool.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It felt so nice to like unplug in that way.
Yeah.
Also.
Not, and like, we're used to on trips, especially with Joe, like planning all of the stuff we're going to be shooting.
Yep. Yeah. So this was our first time that I think like we had a trip with Joe where we just could
hang with
ease
him.
Off and hang and not worry about like getting to the next thing because it was planned for us. Transportation was ready. Food was ready. Like we truly did not have to do any work at all.
Or having to worry about filming something for the doc. I do kind of regret that we didn't really shoot anything, but at the same time, we can get all that pickup stuff later.
Right. Yeah. It didn't have to happen that week. And I think it's kind of nice to finally have some time where it was like not production related. Sure, we did some podcasts here and there. You and Joe had one for MusicBed's podcast, which was cool. And then the three of us did one as a group for MusicBed's podcast as well. But
in the two podcasts we did with the three of us and then Joe and I was an incredible time for me to really, it was really therapeutic in a sense. It really helped me rationalize different ideas, conceptualize different tangible physical things that we need to be doing in the next 4 to 5 months as far as structure and plan goes with editing and release. But even specifically with Joe, just like hearing from him and his perspective as well, like how we earned his trust.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was just really cool to hear his perspective. Like, I know it was all true. I know we've processed all that, had conversations about it. But in that formal setting, to just kind of hear that and, you know, because there's always those inklings of feeling you have where you're just like, did we impose too much? Like, were we too abrasive? Like, we were following you around everywhere.
For 9 months.
Yeah. So hearing from him, you know, and that episode is going to be released way later once the doc is available to view.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to try to time that out. So you'll hear that then. But just hearing that perspective from him and just the confirmation and affirmation that, like, we were professionals and we weren't a bunch of scrubs. Because, it's true. It's that he's you know, he has enough popularity and notoriety that he's been burned by people in the past, like wanting to try to use him for his clout and, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's just a nasty feeling.
Yeah.
So it was cool to hear that he didn't feel that way about us.
Yeah. That's really affirming.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was fantastic. It was really nice to just have time with them, unplug, and especially with Maddie too, because we hadn't seen her since they announced the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was really fun to see her in person, to celebrate with her and just to hear how she's feeling. How they're just doing in general, like getting closer and closer to their due date this summer. It's just, it's really, I don't know. It felt like a very like wholesome trip.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Joe had to get a passport because he filled all the pages in his passport.
Which is insane.
Bro, that's wild.
Which the timing is great because there's only a certain amount of cities where you can get a rush passport and Dallas was one of them. So he got to run over there and get it.
I think it actually kind of worked out for the best, to be honest. That is a super stressful situation to be in. Yeah. I was just in it a month ago and I completely empathize with that. It is not fun to have like tickets booked in a very significant event coming up and you're like, I don't know if I can go there. Okay, let's really hope that this works out. Like, yeah, it's tough, but I'm glad that even that worked out as well. It was like super cool. We also did a meet and greet one of the nights that we were there, which was fun. Very, very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, I know you've done stuff like this before.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done like a meetup, like a public meetup?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
First time.
Was it weird for you?
Yes.
For people to come up and be like, can I take a photo with you? I'm like,
100%.
Wait, why?
Like, oh, I love your work. There's someone that I talked to who said that he's been watching all of our videos for the past year and he rarely watches anyone else's videos. So it's weird when you hear on the subscriber side that they watch the content that we make.
Yeah.
And they look forward to when it publishes. Like, I think sometimes for us, it's such a grind or we forget that there are real people who are learning real things on the other end. But I think that was really gratifying to meet a person who's like, oh, I love what you guys are doing. Keep going. I'm learning a lot from you guys because we've been there before and we're still there. But it was weird. It was weird to like put faces to like, it was a weird experience for me for sure.
It was like surreal.
It was surreal. Yeah.
Whoa, this is actually happening right now. Like I remember when I still do this to other people, but like that having that almost admiration for someone else, like having that reciprocated towards you is a very crazy feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was like our first taste of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can kind of feel overwhelming because you're just like bouncing from conversation to conversation. Yeah. And I mean, in the best of ways though, I mean, it's so flattering. The amount of people that came out and just wanted to come and chat and meet and take a picture. And I think like not to discredit anybody else that night, but Thomas has been following my work for, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 years. I've seen him on Instagram and on Patreon and in the YouTube comments and everything. And I've watched videos that he's made on his YouTube channel. And it was just so crazy to finally meet him in person. And we didn't publicly share that we were going to be doing that night until the day of.
Yeah.
So I had already DM'd him because he saw we were in Dallas Fort Worth area, which is where he's from. And so he's like, wait, you guys are here? And I was like, yeah, we're going to have a meetup on Thursday. And he's just like, I'm there, you know? So it was just so cool. He came to the lunch in the Johnny Stimson show at FM headquarters, and I wasn't expecting him to be there at lunch. So I'm like in the line and I turn around and he just looks at me. He goes, it is so weird to see you in person. And I was like, holy crap.
Same.
Whoa, I didn't know you were going to be here right now.
Yeah.
And I just like gave him a big bear hug. And that was just so, so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he has said things to me in the past where like one of those sentiments of, you know, I wouldn't have this career if I didn't learn from the stuff that you made, which is just so sweet. So shout out Thomas. Thanks for always being such an incredible support. And man, kudos to you. We just had a DM on Patreon where we talked through new pricing and him going through a dry season. Then it just picked up in between the conversation. And just to have that kind of community from afar and just like really easy DMs back and forth, you know, where it's just like, you know, we got each other's back. We're encouraging each other from afar. Mm-hmm. It's never lost on us. So yeah, it's super, super cool.
Yeah.
And Rally Caps too.
Yeah.
Like hearing people come up and say that they listen to Rally Caps. I'm sure that tickled the bone within you.
That was very special to hear people say like, oh, so glad the show's back. I'm like, you were waiting for it to come back. Like that's pretty. It is extremely heartwarming and extremely validating, I think, with the amount of time and energy it's taken and the kind of waves that we've let the show come and go with, just kind of with the different seasons that we've been going through and busyness and everything. And I'm really happy that it's back and that people are excited that it's back too. It is really, really cool, especially getting texts from friends or DMs from people like tagging us in stories, like listening to the show today, or like someone like my buddy Danny is like starting his own like film camera online Etsy store kind of situation for Depop.
Yeah.
And he like texted me while he was packaging orders, just like bubble wrapping old film cameras and like, hey, listen to the pod right now. Like, hope you guys are doing well. Like, that's just the coolest thing. So yeah, appreciate all of you who listen and watch this. Like, sincerely, it's hard to always respond to everyone, but we see everything and appreciate it all so, so, so much, sincerely. So yeah, that meetup was cool. We also met Kyler.
which was
in
fun.
Person yeah. for the first yes. time.
Oh my gosh, that was a lot of fun.
That was one of those where I was like, wait, have we met in real life?
Yeah, because you guys had him on Rally yeah. Caps.
We did.
And yeah. it was one. It's one of those weird brain things for me where I'm like, I swear I've met you in real life before. And then you think about it and you're like, I guess we haven't.
Yeah.
And that I love that. I love when that happens yeah. where you don't remember if you, I mean, like in one sense, it's not so great that you yeah. don't remember. Like my memory sucks anyway. So, but in the other sense, I think it's really kind of an endearing sentiment of just like,
yeah.
I feel like I know you so well. We've talked so many times. Like, surely we've been in the same room before,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we hadn't. So how did that feel, Gene?
That was awesome. That was, I think, that is one of the things I'm looking most forward to this year is meeting people that we've all connected with over the internet that we just weren't able to last year because we were so busy with the doc.
Yeah.
But meeting someone like Kyler, someone, his work I'm so familiar with, and so meeting him in person, and again, it's like what we experienced when people were coming up to us and saying, oh, like, so happy Rally Caps is back, or like, I've been watching your videos, but it's the same experience with Kyler. I'm like, dude, I've been following your work for a very long time. It's crazy to meet you in person now. And he's like the nicest person too. So mm-hmm. it was awesome to, I think, again, put faces to names and meet someone as talented as him as well in person.
And if you're a photographer and you're on Twitter, you know who Kyler is.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who always does those posts where it's like how I edit a photo and it's all hand drawn and yep. then you see the final product. So if you're hearing this, you know what I'm talking about. You're a photographer on Twitter.
Yeah. But not many people know what he looks like. Because yeah. Was it Thomas?
Yeah.
Who met him yeah. and was like, wait, you're Kyler Steele?
He's like, yeah.
Because his photo's not like anywhere on the internet, right. no. on Twitter, Instagram, yeah.
No. So funny.
But yeah, we interviewed him at some point in 2022. I think he was episode yeah. like 34 or something like that, 33, somewhere around that. So yeah, we'll link that episode as well if you're interested.
It's a lot of links.
Hearing about, yeah, dude, that's like three whole links.
Sheesh.
Hope you guys can click all of them.
Tell us about Denton Camera Shop.
Oh, that was okay. That was cool. That was like classic hole in the wall camera shop, like what you'd expect a lot of vintage camera stores to look and feel like.
Mm-hmm.
The especially cool thing about that was all of us getting our portraits taken on 8x10 Polaroid film,
yeah.
which is wild. Armand showed me, relative to the 8x10, the size of a 35mm negative. It's just comical. Like how huge 8x10 film is. It was so cool to have that portrait. We, the three of us with Joe
yeah.
for one of the portraits, and then Joe and Maddie got one taken up mm-hmm. the two of them as well. Seeing that develop in real time, magical. Brought me back to like darkroom days in college, mm-hmm. like just seeing, it's not the same obviously, but like developing your photos and seeing the images come out is like so, so cool. And then just like being able to take that photo with us back yeah. here was so special because the four of us, the three of us here and Joe, I don't think I've gotten a photo like that together yet.
No, yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Now we have that.
Yeah, that's really cool, really special. I need to scan that ASAP. Mm. We have to figure out a way to
figure out how to scan that.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
I feel like a computer scanner.
That's where a flatbed is like
just
the best.
Just something, just yeah. to digitize it first.
Yes.
Maybe we just photograph it, honestly.
Yeah.
In a controlled setting.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it has some glare. The depth of field is insane. Mm-hmm. When Steven's talking about the comparison of 8x10 to 35mm, it has to be 50 times the size.
It's oh, ridiculous. Yeah.
If not more.
It's yeah.
It took a long time to set it up, but we were like, we knew what was coming on the other side, so we were just patiently waiting. And yeah, real, real special.
Yeah.
And something for me that I'm going through right now, kind of being in a season of looking at my catalog of 2022 scans, film photo scans.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of last year was me detaching myself from photography a lot because I had to be so focused on the documentary, using my cinema camera and just kind of being one with that. I wasn't shooting as many photo jobs,
mm-hmm.
and I was casually taking film photos throughout the process of the documentary. I didn't want to miss out on that. There were parts where I was feeling big FOMO of wanting to do more.
Yeah.
But being around Joe, especially through this trip as well, has really kind of unlocked a new side of my artistry, and seeing someone like him with the sheer talent that he has, not to say he shoots a small amount of photos given his camera roll and his phone.
151 rolls in India.
I think Yeah. I think what was so cool is on that trip, he barely shot any photos on film at all.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
any.
He didn't finish that roll in his camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Because he verbalized saying, like, I just came off of India, huge body of work, need to digest it.
Chill.
Yeah.
And even still saying things like, I want to sit on this for years. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, the patience it takes to actually do that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, man, and I feel like I got a taste of that, of just being like, I was excited to share a lot of the work that I made last year on a stills front, but I never really sat down to process and make them look the way I wanted them to, and then to share them. And I don't know if that was just a feeling of being overwhelmed and not having enough time. It's probably more of that.
Yeah.
But now the feeling of like, oh wow, a whole year of work that can be curated in all these different ways and shared intentionally on somewhere like Instagram. There's always so much more weight behind a post like that. When you're coming from a place of like, I need to find something in the catalog to post today, it's only going to connect with someone so far. You might have a few people who are like, wow, I really connect with this part of the image. Or if it's a very, very striking image or emotional or just visually stunning, sure, there's going to be responses. But I'm really, really loving the process of curating a collection of images on an Instagram post and then having a caption that like actually means something. And yeah, it feels like this trip has really kind of cemented that for me. And now that, I mean, nice transitional moment. FM is the parent company of MusicBed. And FM has different columns of brands. So they have MusicBed, which is their music licensing. They have Film Supply, which is their video licensing. So people can go there and purchase video clips for their commercials. It's, again, really high-end stuff. And the bar is really high for being able to submit that kind of footage. And now they just opened a new column called Stills. And this column is going to be the photographic side of licensing. And we all recently connected with Nick, who's the point person at Stills.
Shout out Nick Richards.
Seriously. Yeah,
what a guy.
And he was there on this trip. And now we're starting to have to think about the intentionality of our still photography moving forward, because we're going to be selling our art through that medium now. Mm-hmm. And I think I've just personally, not to go on like a 7-minute rant, but like personally, the past year, I've felt... And I've voiced some of this to you, Stephen, I think. I felt really insecure about my photographic skills because of the lack of volume that I've been partaking in. Seeing you guys build a volume and collection of just incredible still photography, in some sense, you know, the animalistic side of me just being like jealous at first. Like, oh man, like I know I can do something similar. I know I can make that kind of quality, but then at the end, processing it and just being like, or not processing it.
Where's the drum? Where is it?
There it is.
Really to sit back and just be like, no, just be patient. Like, allow for that season to happen when it needs to happen. You're not in that season right now. Obviously, still take photos, take family photos, but don't like... Don't break your back trying to make something that shouldn't be made right now.
For sure.
And so it was really cool to fly through like 4 roles on this trip. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right before this episode, I like couldn't get off my computer because I was so excited to convert the negatives. And I feel like I haven't had that feeling in a while. Mm. And it's just getting me really excited. I was super sick on this trip. And so it was hard for me to enjoy it in the moment. And now that I'm... you know, actually processing those stills now, I am looking back on it with a kind of fondness that I didn't feel like I was able to experience in the moment. And now I'm just feeling a lot of gratitude for what it was. So anyway, thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
That's really cool how those images could shape your view of it in hindsight, though. Like seeing that trip through the stills that you made throughout it is really cool. And like how that actually made being sick during it feel less bad afterwards.
100%.
Like, that's kind of nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like just the photos of us playing darts in that bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like we had a really good laugh on one of the Gene's photos because he was throwing a dart underhand.
Don't judge me.
It was just like, I forgot you did that. And that's hysterical. But something I mentioned to you today, Stephen, as well, was I'm really interested in looking at some of those still images I made last year, albeit few, and finding ones that like have a legitimate story behind them.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And then making some YouTube videos just talking about maybe one image or three images and legitimately like recalling with storytelling in a very captivating and interesting way. That I think that encapsulates what I was talking about on the Instagram posts, but doing it through the medium of filmmaking then.
Mm-hmm.
And those kinds of ideas. I feel like I've been so thirsty for ideas like that recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad we're processing it on this episode because I think I didn't realize how much that trip last week was going to push the needle for me into a new season of like new creative ideas.
Yeah.
And what's great is that it broke up the rhythm, like you were saying. It was like we weren't in charge of the plan. And so that gave us the ability to be able to consume what was happening instead of trying to make happen what was supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that consumption in that sense, not like a dead-eye scrolling consumption,
mm-hmm.
but like an experiential, real...
It's like a participation in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like... then manifested real and new fresh ideas.
Yep. Yeah, you don't realize just how much mental energy it takes to be the ones like hosting all of these trips and coordinating everything and making sure everyone's taken care of. Like, I think that's the big shift is that the three of us have played host for the past year on all these projects, especially Gene, and we could all just disengage from that on this trip. And that was amazing.
It was nice. It was fun. A lot of fun.
Very big change of pace.
Yeah. Gene, a question I have for you is like, so the listener might be sitting here being like, cool, that's great for you guys. I don't have a brand to fly me out to their lake house, you know? How can someone have that same kind of experience or how can someone get that kind of creative catalyst in their own life?
Like to get to a similar place.
Yeah. Like how can they process something like that or actively do something that maybe doesn't cost a whole ton of money to get to that same place? So how do I get new creative ideas if I'm stuck in a rut?
Yeah. You touched on this earlier about the story about Laura and how long you were using MusicBed until you finally did a sponsored video in 2020. But mm-hmm. I would say like you and I, Stephen and I are experiencing this right now. I think a lot of it's consistency. Like when we take film photos, if anything, we're actually spending money to buy film, to process it, get it developed. And then we're taking time to scan. But the same applies to YouTube videos as well. No one pays you to do YouTube videos in the beginning. No one pays you for ideation, for filming. And frankly speaking, last year we spent so much time, money, effort, our efforts, our resources to build things. And I think that what's wonderful about that is anyone can do it, especially creatives and artists, because so much of what we create, it can be placed in front of people. I think we have such a great platform to be able to build things, but sometimes it takes time. I think there are people who are overnight success stories, but I know my personality. Like, that's just not who I am. And for me, I'd rather build something slowly and with a firm foundation to get to a place where... Yeah, like last week or 2 weeks ago, that experience, if that happened like 6 months ago, I would have like lost my mind. I would have been like, what is going on? But even when we were there, I was like, yeah, this is cool. Like we belong here. We should be here right now mm-hmm. with all the work that we've put in. So I think a big thing is consistency. And I think a lot of times, like Eric, what you're saying, you do question your ability, your artistry, your creativity. Like, am I supposed to be here? Do I deserve to be here? But when you're in that position, you deserve to be there. I firmly believe that when you are in a place where you're working with brands or you're working on cool projects, you put the work in to get there. So at least for me, I really think a lot of it is consistency. And I think what we see on the internet a lot is so sensationalized. Like, oh my gosh, like how'd they get to 100,000 subscribers mm-hmm. like in a year? But mm-hmm. for most people, that's not going to be the case. Mm-mm. And I think you have to be so self-aware in knowing yourself, and you just have to be patient, I think, is a big thing too. But consistency, patience. Yeah. I think that's how we've done it so far.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a sexy answer.
It's not, no. Unfortunately.
And I think that's what's so great is like, that's reality.
Yeah.
You know,
very like, much so.
Okay. So maybe you don't have the opportunity to have that same kind of opportunity. So what kinds of things are you doing to work towards something like that? Anything like that? Like, what are you actively doing to try to have moments like that in your life that are catalysts for creativity for you?
Yeah.
Instead of just sitting there and going like, well, I wish I had it. You know, what kind of art are you making? What kind of ideas are you processing? What kind of time are you carving out of your schedule to try to ideate, to try to make stuff happen?
I would encourage you to make that time a time without screens mm-hmm. of any kind.
Yeah.
Stop making stuff. Stop consuming other things. I personally find a lot of benefit in writing pen and paper, with reading paperback book, with playing guitar, going on a walk, spending time with Laura and with our cats, because it's just time that's just, there's no expectations. It's so exhausting and so creatively draining to always be making something and to always be literally straining your body with the screens that you're surrounding yourself with to do those things. Yeah. And I find it incredibly rejuvenating to just detach from all of them. Even if you love your work, even if you find a lot of satisfaction in it, there will always come a time where you, and I think most people are usually aware of when they hit this moment where you're not putting out your best work and where you have stopped making something because you love it and you've just continued and pushed through because you feel like you have to churn something out. Mm-hmm. Something I always come back to on this show is one of the first things that someone ever said on Rally Caps. It was Rachel from Mango Street. She said, humans have, for the first time ever,
You got it.
Humans have never been expected to make something this fast, this much, this often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This fast, this much, this often. And we're not built to create this much. No one has that in them to just keep churning it out. So while it might look that maybe from the outside, sometimes you see what we do and it's like, oh my gosh, like how are they taking so many photos or making so many videos or whatever it is? Like a lot of times we've been sitting on catalogs of images or videos that have taken a long time to make. And we also have each other to help each other make all of these things. Which is an extreme blessing.
And building out the infrastructure to do so. That's what this space literally is.
Yeah, I mean, Chad, behind the camera right now, like making this show possible to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Like there are so, so, so many layers and so much context that I think a lot of people miss. And I kind of do want this to be a place where we just share a lot of that and maybe break some of the ideas that people have about how things happen or how much time it takes to make things happen. But yeah, just turn off your phone, turn off your laptop, just turn off all the things and look at something that's not glowing.
And like you're touching on this right now, but when you are in a place or you are ready to create things, to invite people to do that with you, alongside you, that's why we can do this for as long as we have so far and why we're able to do the quality of work that we do. The doc is just one example of that because you have people to do it with. There's no way that any one of us by ourselves would be able to accomplish what we're doing at the moment. There's just no, by yourself, it's just unsustainable. But together, whether it's like sharing ideas or helping film stuff, or hey, look at this, or what do you think about that? Or is this a good idea? We do it together. So it's just, it's much easier when you do it as a group as opposed to doing it by yourself.
100%.
And I think people were made to believe that in the Casey Neistat era.
Oh yeah,
totally.
I mean like, immediately as you're saying that, I was like, okay, what are we doing right now? We're building out this studio. We're doing it together. Like Steve and Jean went out to get, you know, a furniture piece today. Well, I didn't do that, but I brought all the lights yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then we collectively opened it together and like all this stuff. And like everybody for 3 years straight watched this guy do everything by himself. And what's funny is like all of us watching were like, this can't keep happening. Like everyone. Because it wasn't necessarily like unbelievable what he was able to do, but it was the amount in which he did it in the time frame he did it.
Yeah.
Going off of what Rachel said, you know, like, I think it's fair to say, and Casey has said himself, like, nearly lost my marriage.
Yeah.
Because of that stint, and then had to take a multitude of days and weeks and months off. And now it feels, you know, now he's back in New York. It's like, oh, he's totally posting at like a normal person rhythm now, and still doing all the things that he is, but everyone's kind of looking at it and going like, okay, that seems sustainable. Yeah. And it did feel like that era of YouTube, you know, 2017 through 2019, everyone was just kind of like, every trip I need to vlog and talk to camera and make it interesting, tell a story when the story doesn't even exist. And it's like, it's just not a reality for literally everyone.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why I loved the last 2 months. We actively were like, we're not going to touch the doc at all. We're just like, let's just sit for a second and just get away from that. Do a few things that, you know, like build us back up, fill us back up, instead of getting back into some kind of grind that it felt like what we were doing with trip after trip after trip. Yeah. And we started cutting together a creative trailer on the trip, and we're excited about it again. Like, we are going to edit more of it today and tomorrow and premiere it for another crowd of people this upcoming weekend. Mm-hmm. And we're just so excited to share it now.
Yeah.
And I know after that, and once that's received and people, you know, in real time see that and get excited about it, then we're going to come back home again and be like, all right, let's edit this whole thing now.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely feels serendipitous in that way, where it's like, okay, this was the right move. This is how it's supposed to be. Yep. You know, I think a lot of people would criticize us for not jumping on it right away, but it's like, we don't need to jump on it right away.
No.
And it's going to take the time it takes, and that's that.
Yep. I think when it comes to the things that you have agency over in your life, give yourself more room to breathe than you think is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't have a deadline that you are beholden to or a client that you're delivering to, the things that you are creating on your own can wait.
Mm-hmm.
It might not feel good to make them wait, but they can.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you will almost every time make or share something better than if you just forced yourself through it.
Mm-hmm.
9.5 times out of 10.
It's the whole concept of working more hours in a day versus taking rest. Like, the inefficient style of work, if you worked 14 hours in a day versus 8 and then got solid rest. Yeah. And relaxation.
Right, you're right.
Like, I know. Yep. There's tons of studies that talk about how it's almost the same exact thing.
Yep.
And in the 14-hour day, you have no rest, really. You have nothing else that's, like, building you back up for the next day. And you, similar to the Casey thing, it's just, like, sure, his was 3 years long, but, like, in all reality, most of us, it's, like, that's a 2-week wick. Yeah. That's going to be burnt.
Mm-hmm. 2-week wick.
Yeah. And yeah, really just processing, okay, what is going to be the most sustainable way for me to share the work that I'm capable of making?
Yeah.
Sure, I might be capable of doing that, but if I only give myself 24 hours to make it, like, we cut together that creative trailer, but we only did it in 48 hours.
If that.
Yeah, yeah, like,
not even.
We totally procrastinated. Yeah. On getting that stuff ready for the trip. Not necessarily procrastinated. We had other stuff going on. It was just like, we're like, we can cut it together. And that was kind of my mentality. It was like, this thing doesn't need to be perfect. And it was totally great. I'm yeah. glad we did it the way we did it, honestly, because it got the ball rolling.
Yep.
And then we came back and we're like, oh, but wait, this other trailer I made back in March, if we mix those two together, then we're like, Steven and I had this aha moment yesterday. We were like, oh.
Yeah.
You know?
And that goes to the sentiment of, like, doing something that's good is better than trying to do something that's perfect. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes the good thing, the okay thing that you put out, will actually create the spark that leads you to the better.
Yeah.
And the best and the perfect.
And we're also kind of like case study releasing it. Cause like,
yeah,
we just showed a dozen people.
Mm-hmm. In Texas.
And then this next one, we're going to show 200 plus people just yeah. in person. Mm-hmm. We're not going to release it publicly. Mm-hmm. We don't have any plans to. And it's like, okay, these are going to be kind of our control groups of like, okay, what worked well? What did people like? We could talk to those people.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can start actually making the documentary. I think that's going to be so cool once we have the documentary done. Then we can show it to family and friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really do the same thing again. And then cut the final trailer at that point once the doc is done.
Mm-hmm.
And then just be like, okay, we have all of these. We have all these experiences of seeing how people reacted to this and that and this. And now we feel like we can make what is going to be the final decision on each of these things.
Yeah.
With all these case studies planned out. And the constant theme in that is like, we're not sharing it publicly until it's ready.
Yep.
And again, going back to the conversation about Joe, like he wants to wait years before he makes a book on India is what he said. It's like, that's got to be so challenging to just sit on that knowing it's like the best work you've ever made.
Mm-hmm.
But
we saw some of those images a couple of days ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're insane.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we had a great time with Music Bed. This trip was a lot more reinvigorating than I think any of us expected it to be.
Truth.
Which is really, really cool.
Mm.
I love that a lot. We appreciate it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Oh, this is nice. It's just kind of like, hey, everyone, welcome back to Rally Caps. Three dudes doing therapy for themselves. It's kind of what this is turning into.
That way.
It's like, oh, maybe creative therapy is the tagline.
Yeah.
That's kind of dumb.
Naz. Yeah. No.
But it, something like, along those
underneath
lines.
It's like the same thing that financial YouTubers, the little disclaimer is like, we are not health professionals.
We are not licensed.
We have
therapists.
No idea what we're talking about. We're just friends that are talking out loud together.
I think what's funny though is like, I feel like I always have those ideas about like, oh, that could be the tagline. Steven's like, almost. That's a good idea.
That's strike one.
It's like, it's. We could just like keep riffing off that idea.
Yeah. Hey, love the bones of that. Let's put some meat on it now.
Meat?
Or some veggies.
There's a vegetarian.
Put some veggies. Yeah, put some veggies.
Mr. Vegetarian. Surprised you said that.
Me too.
Well, I know my innards aren't broccoli and carrots.
Well, it's true. You were putting the meat back on the bones.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Didn't eat it, just reassembling.
You got quite a God complex over there. Putting meat on bones. Who do you think you are?
God, if you really break that down, that's so gross.
Actually.
Why is that? Oh, we gotta come up.
So why gross. Was it off the bone first?
Chad's like, what is going on?
This is derailed real quick.
No, it's very good. If you've made it this far in the episode on YouTube or Spotify or Apple,
smash like.
No.
Destroy subscribe.
Oh, that's the applause.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah.
Which one?
I
want?
Wanted crickets.
Yellow.
We'll get there eventually. If you did make it this far, maybe leave a rating, but then in the comments, rate this 9 out of 9 innings, maybe. That's how people could. It's a little inside joke and a little blue hat emoji. A little something.
Nice.
So we know that you made it all the way to the end.
They could do that.
Hey. We'll explain that joke next week.
Okay. We'll see you there. Bye.
Bye.
Good?
Wait.
Now we sync audio.
53 minutes later. Sorry, Chad.